For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is April 25th. We are in Parshas Pinchas. We're on page 894. We are up to the Karbanos Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which is going to be the next holiday. We did Shavuos last time, and tonight we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We'll see how far we get. Before we do this, I want to give a basic overview of Karbanos. It's confusing. We're talking here about Karbanos that are brought by the Tzibur, which means by the congregation, literally, but it means by the Beis HaMikdash. And it gets confusing when you talk about individual Karbanos and Karbanos brought by the Tzibur. So just as a brief overview, we learned in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra about all the various Karbanos that are brought by individuals. An individual can bring a Karban Ola, a Karban Shlamim, a Karban Asham, a Karban Chatas, various Karban Todah. There are various Karbanos an individual can bring. When an individual brings a Karban, so it's individual's responsibility to bring to the Beis HaMikdash whatever it is that is needed, which is usually an animal. Could be more than one animal. Could be birds. Could be flour. And often with the Karban also goes what is called Nisachim. Nisachim are the flour, oil, and wine that often go along with Karbanos. And all these things have to be proper. There's rules for the flour, there's rules for the oil, there's rules for the wine, there's rules for the animals, there's rules for the birds, all kinds of rules. And a person has to get the proper types for whatever they're bringing in. It is the individual's responsibility. As it would stand to reason, there was an industry that developed around the Beis HaMikdash of people selling animals, birds, flour, etc., that was useful for the Beis HaMikdash that you could bring as a carbon. So if you needed to bring a carbon, very often what you needed was available for purchase near the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, often the Beis HaMikdash itself had supplies that you could buy from the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're bringing the carbon, it's your responsibility to get a hold of whatever it is you need to bring that carbon. Even though it is processed by the Kohanim, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, it's processed by the Kohanim, and depending on the carbon, you, the individual, may eat some of it, or maybe not. Maybe you'll eat none of it. Maybe it will all get burned on the Mizbeach. Maybe it will all be eaten by the Kohanim. Depending on the type of carbon, there's different rules. And we learned about them in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. Then we have Karbanos Tzibur. Those are called, what we just described as Karbanos Yachid. That would mean an individual's Karbanos. Now we have Karbanos Tzibur. Karbanos Tzibur are communal Karbanos. So communal Karbanos are the responsibility of the community, which means all of us, everybody together is responsible for this, for these Karbanos. When you have a communal Karban, a Karban Tzibur, then it's not that each and every individual has to offer one Karban, it's that the community as a whole has to offer a Karban. So, for instance, the Karban Tamid, which is two sheep, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, those are Karbanos Tzibur. So it's not that you have to bring a Karban Tamid, and you have to bring a Karban Tamid, and I have to bring a Karban Tamid. Rather, it's all of us, all of Klal Yisrael, brings one Karban Tamid in the morning and one Karban Tamid in the afternoon. Who's responsible for it? Well, theoretically, we're all responsible for it. However, it has been entrusted to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohanim of the Beis HaMikdash, to take care of those Karbanos. Our Machatzis HaShekel, our money that we donate to the Beis HaMikdash in the beginning of the year, pays for those Karbanos Tzibur. That goes to the coffers of the Beis HaMikdash, and in part, that money is used to buy Karbanos Tzibur. So all the Karbanos Musaf that we've been learning about recently, the past several weeks, are all Karbanos Tzibur. So we sit at home comfortably while in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim take care of these Karbanos. They use the money that we donated in the beginning of the year they donated as well. Everybody donates to the Machatzis HaShekel, and they have on hand many karbanos. We know in advance how many karbanos are needed on each particular day, each particular Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, etc., Shabbos, and they take care of those karbanos. Many of them are burned completely, so nobody eats any of it. All the karbanos musaf are olos, except for the one that it says is achatas, and olos are completely burned. If anything needs to be eaten, it would be eaten by the kohanim. So what we're learning about in these sukkim here are all karbanos tzibur. So it's the responsibility of the kohanim to take care of these karbanos. So that's just a general overview because it gets confusing. And as we mentioned last time, for example, when we talked about Shavuos, so we talked about the Karban HaOmer and the Shtei HaLechem. Those are also Karbanos Tzibur. Typically, when you're dealing with a Karban Yachid, an individual's Karban, so there's no way to predict how many Karbanos Yachid will be brought because on any given day, any one of us could show up with a Karban. Or two, or three, or 12. So, it could be. However, it was anticipated that there would be an influx of karbanos yachid, of individual karbanos, during the Shalosh Regalim. Because that's when people came to Yerushalayim. So if you're living, you're living 100 miles away from Yerushalayim, the logical time to bring a karban yachid is during the Shalosh Regalim. Because that's when you're gonna be there anyway. You have to go, why make another trip? So it was natural that there would be an influx of karbanos yachid during and before and after the Shalosh Regalim. That was anticipated by the Beis Hamikdash. Then you have those karbanos yachid that everybody must do. So the Karban Pesach is probably the best example of that, where everybody has to participate in a Karban Pesach. It's not that each one of us has to offer a Karban Pesach, but we all have to be part of a Karban Pesach. So there you have thousands and thousands and thousands of Karbanos Pesach brought on the same day, the same afternoon, and in fact, those are all Karbanos Yachid. Those are not Karbanos Tzibur. They're brought by each group of people who band together and join in on a particular Karban Pesach. But a Karban Pesach is a Karban Yachid, not a Karban Tzibur, because the individuals bring it. Whereas the Karban Musaf of Pesach, that's a Karban Tzibur. So that's a general overview of how these Karbanos work. Let me pause here. Any questions?
On the individual Karban, is there like a person or a group of people that check if it's pure, if it's okay, the right age?
So when an individual brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, there will be an intake process. So the Torah does not delineate the exact intake process. I imagine the Kohanim set up something as they wanted to. But from the Torah's perspective, the non-Kohen can be involved in his carbon up to and including the Shechita of killing the animal, of slaughtering the animal. From that point on, it's in the Kohanim's hands. So it's, as long as it's in my hands, I'm not a Kohen, it's my responsibility to make sure that it's unblemished, etc. Once it gets to the Kohanim's hands, then it's their responsibility. However, they didn't let it be so willy-nilly. You know, there was an intake process. You would bring, if you brought your own animal, they would want to check it, or they would have somebody with expert checkers over there. If you wanted to purchase one from a certified buyer, there probably was a hechsher. I'm sure they set up processes that made it work that we could probably anticipate ourselves if we were the ones, mm-hmm. taking care of that sort of thing. But yes, the Torah does not specify how to have an intake process, but there must have been one. You just, see someone at a desk and then the animal is brought up and you have to take a look. I mean, they must have had, people.
An OU and a cop.
Different kashrus agencies. Yeah. Right. Yeah, they must have had some system that worked. And it also had to be efficient. You could have literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals coming through and they had to be processed.
Yeah. One more question. Karban
Chatas.
Chatas. Thank you. Is there a time limit? Or could you wait until the
Okay, so the question is, for the people online, does a Karban Chatas, Is there a time limit or do you need to wait for the Shalosh Regalim? So just a brief overview of the Karbanos Yachid that you bring individually. Some of those Karbanos you could bring whenever you wish and there's no time limit and you can bring as many as you want. You could bring an Ola any day of the year that you wish. Not Shabbos, but you can bring an Ola whenever you want, and you can bring as many as you want. If you're wealthy and you want to bring 1,000 Olos on a day, you can do it. That's what floats your boat. That, you can do that. Shlamim also is one that if you decide you can do it. Then you have Karbanos Yachid that are in response to one's behavior or what happens to a person. So those can only be done given a circumstance. So we'll call them the bad behavior ones would be like a chatas. You can't bring a chatas if you didn't do a sin. So if a person did a sin that warrants a chatas, they bring it. And on the flip side, you have a toda. A toda is in response to something good that happened to you. So you wouldn't just bring a toda stam, it would be for a reason. So the Torah does not give a specific time frame for when you must bring the karban. However, it's understood that if a person did an Avera for which they're bringing a karban, they would want to do it as soon as possible because that karban is going to protect the person from any further harm. Whereas if a person does not offer the karban quickly, they may end up being punished. And remember, a punishment is compounded when a person does not take advantage of the opportunities for tshuva that Hashem gives them. So if a person does an Aveira, Chas V'Shalom, at this time of the year, and doesn't do tshuva until Yom Kippur, it's not great, but Hashem, so to speak, understands, because Yom Kippur is our time for tshuva. So it's better to do tshuva right away. But it's not out of the realm of we'll call it normalcy, if a person doesn't really fully do tshuva until Yom Kippur. But if a person does a sin right before Yom Kippur, and then waits till after Yom Kippur to do tshuva, well, then his sin is compounded. Why didn't he do tshuva on Yom Kippur when it was the opportunity? So the same thing with karbanos. If a person has the opportunity to bring a karban chatas, which we don't have that opportunity today, a person has that opportunity, doesn't do it, so that compounds his sin. So there is pressure to do it as quickly as possible, but the Torah does not give a time frame that it must be done by.
Can one hire or appoint an agent to do it for
Okay,
you?
The question is, can someone hire an agent to bring a carbon for them? The Gemara speaks about having a shliach, an agent, bring someone's carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And very often one can do that. Very often one can do that. Depends on the carbon and it depends on and what has to be done. See, part of bringing a carbon chatas, for example, is the vidoy, is admitting the sin, and you know, that's the whole experience, is to have that sense that this animal is taking my place. Really, I deserve, God forbid, to be punished, and so this animal is going to be, right? So there is that sense.
Yeah, but if somebody
is unable to go, yeah. So there are different examples of the Gemara says where a person can have a shliach do it. There's also a difference between whether the person is fit to bring a karban, but for whatever reason can't make it to the Beis HaMikdash, and a person who's unfit. Let's say I'm tameh. So if I'm tameh, I'm not fit to bring a karban, then I cannot necessarily appoint an agent because I'm unfit to do it in the first place. So there's various details like that. Right. But the general idea of an agent, yes, there is that with karbanos as well. Yeah. Okay, fine. So now we will move into the karbanos musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So we've already talked about the regular karban tamid, then we talked about the musaf of Shabbos, musaf of Rosh Chodesh, musaf of Pesach, Musaf of Shavuos. And remember, Musaf could be many Karbanos. We've had multiple Karbanos for Musaf. So here we have more of them for Rosh Hashanah. And also bear in mind that Rosh Hashanah is really only supposed to be one day, even though we keep 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael these days we keep 2 days, but officially Rosh Hashanah is really one day. Why we keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah even in Eretz Yisrael, that is an interesting discussion, which we've actually had before, but not for this evening. So top of the page, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, we're in chapter 29, Chavtes. Uvachodesh ha-shevi'i be'echad ha-chodesh, in the 7th month, which is Tishrei, in the first day of the month, Mikro kodesh yelachem, it shall be sanctified for you, which means it's a holiday. Komalecha sabodalo sasu, you can't do any malacha, any work. Yom trua yelachem, it'll be a day of trua, which they translate as shofar sounding. I would have said of blowing. It's a day of making sound through blowing, through a horn. It's the shofar sounding day. But, so the Torah here, this is not the commandment to blow the shofar, but it's telling you it is a day of trua, it's a day of the shofar. Va'asisem ola l're'ach nichoach la'Hashem, you shall do an ola, a carbon ola, many carbonos ola actually, as a pleasant smell for Hashem, so to speak. Now what is the set of carbonos of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? Par ben bakar echad, ayil echad, one bull, one ram. Before for Pesach and for Shavuos, we had two bulls and one ram. Here we have one bull, one ram. Kvasim ben eshana shiva timimim. And seven unblemished sheep. That was the same on Pesach, same on Shavuos. Seven unblemished sheep. So that's a total now of nine carbonos musaf. All of these are olos. Umin chasam. And you have along with them their meal offerings that go along with them. Soles b'lulav hashamen. You have fine flour which is mixed with oil. Shlosha esronim lapar, shnei esronim la'oil. Three esronim, that's a measurement of flour for a bull, for the bull that you're bringing. Two esronim for the ram. V'yisaron echad lakeves ha'echad. And one isaron per sheep. L'shivas ha'kfasim, for each of the seven sheep. And then you have a tenth karban, usir yizimechad chatas. You also have to offer one goat, which is a communal karban chatas, l'chaper aleichem, to achieve atonement for yourselves. So you have 10 karbanos as your musaf for Rosh Hashanah. However, as we had when we did Shavuos, that on Shavuos, you also have the shtei halechem, which also included many, many karbanos. Here, you have another whole set of karbanos, because Rosh Hashanah happens to also be Rosh Chodesh. It's the first day of the year. It also happens to be the first day of the month. So, on Rosh Chodesh, we had 11 karbanos that had to be offered. So the Torah says here, Milvad olas ha-chodesh u-minchasa. This does not include, or this list we just had here, does not include the ola of Rosh Chodesh, and its mincha, and its meal offerings. And also we don't include V'olas ha-tamid u-minchasa, the ola of the karban tamid, and its mincha. So on Rosh Hashanah, you've got the 10 karbanos of Rosh Hashanah, you've got the 11 karbanos of Rosh Chodesh, that's 21, and the two karbanos tamid. So you've got 23 karbanos total. Vinis kehem, and their libations, kemishpatam, according to the laws, l'reach nichoach, as a pleasant smell, isha l'Hashem, a fire offering to Hashem. So it's really 23 karbanos that are offered on Rosh Hashanah, some because of Rosh Hashanah, some because of Rosh Chodesh, and some because of the karban tamid. All of this is done on Rosh Hashanah, which happens to also be Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is always done even when it coincides with something else. Now it happens to be the only holiday on the calendar that is on Rosh Chodesh, that is a Torah holiday, is Rosh Hashanah. We have a rabbinic holiday that is on Rosh Chodesh, and that is Chanukah. Chanukah every year goes over Rosh Chodesh. It starts on the 25th of Kislev, and then goes to the end of Kislev and into Teves. So Rosh Chodesh Teves coincides with Chanukah, but that is not a Torah Chag. That is a rabbinic chag, so there's no karbanos that go along with that. So we don't have that, we'll call it double dipping. But here we do with Rosh Hashanah. We do, though, have an example in the Chumash of a day that was a special day, which included many, many karbanos, which was on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore there ended up being multiple karbanos besides the ones mentioned because of the fact that they were special, but because it was Rosh Chodesh. Anybody know offhand? That would be, we had it a few weeks ago in the Chumash, Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, on the eighth day of the Miluim of the inauguration of the Mishkan, that special day, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So all the Karbonos, the Torah over there says in the beginning of Parashat Shmini that Aaron had to bring and his sons had to bring and Moshe had to bring all the different Karbonos brought over there. In addition to all that was the Rosh Chodesh Karbonos because it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So you always have to factor in what day it is. Of course, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, then in addition to all the ones we mentioned here, you have to add in two more for Shabbos. So you just kind of, whatever it is, you just add in the amount of days, whatever other Karbonos there is. Now there is a discussion in Halacha whether on Rosh Hashanah in the davening, whether we should mention Rosh Chodesh or not. It is Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. The problem with mentioning Rosh Chodesh is the fear that we will distract from Rosh Hashanah if we mention Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, there is a debate whether or not any mention in the davening should be made of Rosh Chodesh or just talk about Rosh Hashanah. In practice, we do mention Rosh Chodesh at various times. One of the times is we say this pasuk in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. We say this pasuk we just read, Milvad Olas HaChodesh U'Minchasan, besides, we're not including the Ola of Rosh Chodesh and its Mincha. So we make mention of Rosh Chodesh kind of as an aside on Rosh Hashanah. But of course, the davening Rosh Hashanah focuses almost exclusively on Rosh Hashanah with very little mention of Rosh Chodesh. And that is precisely for this reason, not to distract from the main aspect of the day, which is of course Rosh Hashanah, much more than Rosh Chodesh. This is to the point where, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, we don't bench Rosh Chodesh before Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. But we don't do it. We only bench Rosh Chodesh the other 11 months of the year. But we don't do it on the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to distract from the fact that it is Rosh Hashanah. And if you talk about Rosh Chodesh, you can risk distracting people from that Yamim No Raim, that awesome day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Moving on now to Yom Kippur. Pasuk Zion verse 7, the next paragraph is now going to be the Kabbalah of Yom Kippur. Now, before I read, let's remember that we had a whole discussion of Yom Kippur in this past week's parasha. Acharemos is the Avoda of Yom Kippur. The Avoda of Yom Kippur involves many Karbonos. They were listed and talked about in detail in the beginning of Acharemos. These are a different set of Karbonos. These are not the same ones mentioned in Acharemos. It's two entirely different discussions. Uve'asar lachodesh ha'shvi hazeh, and on the 10th of this 7th month, on the 10th day, mikra kodesh yeh lachem, it'll be a sanctified day for you, ve'inisem es nafsho seichem, and you shall afflict your souls. This is one of the places where the Torah makes it clear that on Yom Kippur we are required to afflict our souls, which we know means five inuyim. There are five afflictions that we have to do. One is not eating or drinking. Two is not washing or bathing. Three is not anointing or smearing ourselves with oils. Four is not wearing shoes. And five is marital relations. So we don't, those are the five inuyim, the five afflictions that we do on Yom Kippur. It is a Torah commandment. Kol melacha lo sasu, we cannot also, another thing is, we can't do any malacha, which is true for every Yom Tov. V'ikravtem ola la'Hashem, you shall bring an ola for Hashem, reach nichalach, a pleasant smell. So what is the ola of Yom Kippur? The musaf of Yom Kippur is the same as Rosh Hashanah. Par ben bakar echad ayel echad, one bull, one ram, kvasim ben eshan shiva, seven sheep, timim yulachem, they all have to be unblemished. Umin chasam, their meal offerings, soles lava shaman, it's fine flour mixed with oil, shlosha esonim la par, shnei esonim la ayel ha'echad. Three esronim for the bull, two esronim for the one ram, isaron lakeves ha'echad, one isaron per sheep, l'shivas hakvasim for the seven sheep. Siri zimechad chatas plus one goat as a chatas. So the same 10 karbanos we had for Rosh Hashanah, we also have for Yom Kippur. But then the Torah makes mention of what we had in Parshas Acharemos. Milvad, this list does not include chatas hakipurim ve'olas hatamir u'minchasav v'niskehem. This does not include the chatas of Yom Kippur, nor does it include the olas hatamid, the karbanos tamid, u'minchasa, and its meal offerings v'niskehem, and their libations. So, it's just that brief mention that not including the chatas of Yom Kippur. What is the chatas of Yom Kippur? So the chatas of Yom Kippur is one of the karbanos mentioned in Parshas Acharemos. Now let me briefly just mention the karbanos in Parshas Acharemos. What was mentioned in this past week's parsha? What did we have? What's that?
It is also.
Okay, so we have one bull, a par, that the Kohen Gadol does vidui on. We have one bull. We have two goats. However, as Mrs. Kaiser just mentioned, one of the goats goes to Azazel. Azazel means it gets thrown off a cliff. That's not a carbon. The sa'ir la Azazel, the goat to Azazel, is not a carbon. It's not slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, the blood doesn't go on the Mizbeach. As we've mentioned before, there are some things that appear to be like karbanos, but they're not karbanos. The sa'ir la'azazel is one of the animals that there is a process for it, but it's not a karban. Para aduma, the red heifer, is not a karban. It's not brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Egla arufa, that if you find someone who died, you don't know who killed him, so you have to kill a calf. That's not a karban either. These things, they're sort of like karbanos, but they're not. So we have the bull, the par. We have, of the two goats, only one of them is a karban. Only one is a karban. And there's also mention of a ram in Parshas Acharemos. There's a ram mentioned as well. There's actually two rams mentioned, one from Aaron and one from the people. When the Torah says here, chatas hakipurim, the chatas of Yom Kippur, that besides all these karbanos musaf, there's also the chatas of Yom Kippur, that is referring to the sa'ir, the goat, but not the sa'ir la'azazel, not the one that gets thrown off the cliff, but the one that is la'hashem, the one that is made into a karban, that's what's being referred to over here. Now, of those four karbanos, it's really five animals, but four karbanos. It was a bull, and then one goat, and then there were two rams. Those animals are not all karbanos tzibur. Here we have a very interesting case. The bull is the Kohen Gadol's bull. It's not the tzibur's bull. It's his. It's Aaron's or the Kohen Gadol's bull. There's also a ram that is his. He has a bull and a ram that are his. And the people, that's the rest of us, that's the tzibur, have the two goats, one of which is a karban, and also a ram. So if you hold the place over here on page 894, let's turn back to this past week's parasha, so we can just take a look at that. It's very short, the part we're going to look at in Acharemos, right in the beginning of Acharemos. On page 636, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, it says, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, with the following. Aaron will come to the Kodesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, Befar Ben Bakar Lechatas, and a bull as a sin offering, Va'ayol Le'ola, and a ram as an Ola. These are his. These are not Karbanos Tzibur. These belong to Aaron. He himself, Rashi actually tells us later on, that he himself pays for them. If you look, well, I'll show you in a minute where that's from. But now turn the page to page 638, Pasuk Hey, verse 5. So you have two animals that Aaron brings. Then what comes from the tzibur, from the rest of us? Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Umeis Adas Bnei Yisrael, and from the congregation of the Jewish people, Yikach, he should take, Aaron should take from the rest of us, Shnei Si'irei Izim L'chatas, two goats for a chatas, which means one of the two will end up being a chatas, Va'ayil Echad Le'ola, and one ram for an ola. So three animals come from us, two animals come from him. Just if you look briefly at the next pasuk, you see how it says it in pasuk Vav, verse 6, V'hikriv Aaron es parachatas asher lo. Aaron brings forward the bull as a chatas that is his, that belongs to him. It's his own. So the bull and the ram belong to the Kohen Gadol, and then there are two goats and a ram that we, as the tzibur, offer. So there you have these are not the musaf. These are additional animals that are offered along with the 10 karbanos mentioned in Parashas Pinchas. But I want to show you something else in Acharemos that's very important. But we're not ready to, I want to tell you first the process, and then I want to show you a pasuk very important in Acharemos as well about all of this. So, on Yom Kippur, we know that the Kohen Gadol has two sets of clothing that he wears, really two types of clothing that he wears. So we know he has his regular 8 garments that he wears. And throughout the year, a regular Kohen wears 4 garments, a Kohen Gadol wears 8 garments. On Yom Kippur, for the Yom Kippur service, a Kohen Gadol also has a 4 garment set. And the 4 garments are white, they're linen, they're white. The 8 garments include a lot of gold. So we know that when the Kohen Gadol is involved in the Yom Kippur service, he wears the white garments. We wear white on Yom Kippur as a remembrance to that. It's not a requirement to wear white on Yom Kippur by any stretch of the imagination, but it is like a minhag because that's what the Kohen Gadol did. So he has these white garments that he wears when he does the Yom Kippur, exclusive Yom Kippur service. When he does the things that are more quote-unquote regular, then he wears the gold garments. So, and we know that he changes clothing 5 times. He goes from gold to white to gold to white to gold. That's how he goes from his regular clothing to gold, then to white, gold, and then he's done. Then back to regular clothing. So that's the way it works on Yom Kippur. So what does he do during each of these stages? The 5 stages, gold, white, gold. So what does he do during those 5 stages? So the rule of thumb is that the gold clothing are for the regular type things. The white clothing are for the specific Yom Kippur things. So with the first wearing of gold, he offers the Karban Tamid, which is a daily sacrifice. That has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. That's a daily offering. So he offers the daily sacrifice. That's the gold. With the last wearing of gold, he also offers the Karban Tamid, the afternoon Karban Tamid, which is also regular. So those are going to involve gold clothing, because that's regular, that's not Yom Kippur. The first time he wears white, that's where he's going to do the bulk of the Yom Kippur service, where he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim, and he offers the Ketores inside, all of the special things that are done with Yom Kippur, all the things we know about and read about, that's all done with his first wearing of white clothing. The second wearing of white clothing, which is his 4th overall change of garments, the second wearing of white clothing, that is in order to go back into the Kodesh HaKadashim to retrieve the pan, the fire pan, and the bowl that he had used in order to offer the ketores, because while it was burning, he couldn't take it out. He had to leave it there to burn. He has to go back to get it later in the day. So he has to change back into white clothing, because then he's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for an exclusive Yom Kippur service, which is to go retrieve those items. So he has to change into white. What about the middle wearing of gold? What is done then? So it's gold, white, gold, white, gold. So the middle wearing of gold, the first wearing of gold was for the Karban Tamid in the morning. The last wearing of gold is the Karban Tamid in the afternoon. What about the middle wearing of gold? So there's a major, major debate in the Gemara. A major debate about what exactly was done in the middle, etc. So the Karban Musaf is the wild card. When did he do the Karban Musaf? And remember, there are 10 Karbanos. So, some say he did them in the middle wearing of gold. Some say the last. Some say the beginning. Some say he split them up. They weren't done altogether. That some of them were offered the 7 sheep in one part, and the other, there's a whole discussion. So if you look in Acharemos, so towards the end, after the Torah goes through the entire system of Yom Kippur, if we look in on page 642, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, Virachatz es bisaro b'mayim, he has to go to the mikveh. Every time he changes clothing, he has to go to the mikveh again. V'malkom kadosh, in a sanctified place. V'lavash es bigadav, he wears his regular 8 garments, his all-year garments. V'yatsa, he goes out into the Beis HaMikdash. V'asa es olaso v'es olas ha'a. Then he does, means he processes, his ola and the ola of the nation. His ola and the ola of the nation. So what's his ola? What's the ola of the nation? So his ola refers to that ram that was mentioned before, and that's offered now. What's the ola of the nation? Well, simple meaning would be the ram of the people, which was also mentioned before. But it could also be the Karbanos Musaf, and that's where the debate comes in. Exactly what is meant by the ola of the nation. Right. So Rashi over here tells us it's the ram that was mentioned before, but the discussion in the Gemara is exactly when the Musaf was offered. Exactly what point in the service was the Musaf offered? Was it broken up over various parts? But it's clear the Musaf would be offered with gold clothing, not with white clothing, because the Musaf is considered to be regular, even though it's a Musaf that is specific to Yom Kippur, but Musaf is offered in every holiday. So it's not a unique Yom Kippur, thing to offer a Musaf. So that would be with the gold clothing. That would not be considered a Yom Kippur unique service. Right, one last point, this is a technical point, but interesting nonetheless, is there is a debate also in the Gemara, the ram that is mentioned in Acharemos. So again, Acharemos, it says that the Kohen Gadol brings his own bull and his own ram. So that is certainly different than what we talked about in Parshas Pinchas. That's the Kohen Gadol, so that's not a carbon seabor. Then, from the people, it's 2 goats, of which one is going to be to Azazel, one is going to be the special one. That's clearly different than what's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. And a ram. There's a debate whether that ram that is mentioned on page 638 in Pasuk Hay in verse 5, which we read, where it says that from the people he'll take Ayel Echad Le'ola, one ram. Is that the same ram as we have in Parshas Pinchas, page 894, in the Karbanos Musaf, in Pasuk Ches, in verse 8, where it says we offer one bull and Ayel Echad, one ram. Is it the same ram or is it a different ram? Now, I think that most people would presume it's a different ram because the discussion in Acharemos is not the same discussion as in Parshas Pinchas. And why would in Parshas Acharemos, why would there be a mention of the one ram? There's no mention of the other things that are in Parshas Pinchas. It certainly seems like it's a separate thing. And therefore, it's a different carbon. There's a special ram that's offered, which is different than the one mentioned here in Parshas Pinchas. But it is a machlokas. There are 2 opinions in the Gemara, whether it's the same ram or it's a different ram. The one in Parshas Acharemos and the one in Parshas Pinchas. So that's just a point of interest whether it's all the same or not. But so therefore on Yom Kippur, if you were to say how many communal karbanos are there on Yom Kippur, we have the 10 in Parshas Pinchas for the Musaf. We have of course the 2 karban tamid. That's 12, and then we have the one goat that's going to be brought inside, not the one that's going off the cliff, the one that's going to be inside, that would be 13. And then there's a debate whether there's a 14th or not. Whether that ram in Parshas Pinchas, in Parshas Acharemos, is the same one as in Parshas Pinchas or not. So that'll be the debate over here. Yeah.
Two questions. So I'm confused. The ones that Aharon brings on Yom Kippur for himself, does he wear white? Because they're for Yom Kippur?
Okay. So the Yom Kippur service is going to be where he's going to actually go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's going to be unique to Yom Kippur. He never goes in there except in Yom Kippur. So what does he go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with? It's the blood from his, he goes in for three things. He goes in for the special Ketores offering, right? Now Ketores is offered every day of the year. Twice. Once in the morning, once in the afternoon. But not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only in the Kodesh, in the Mizbeach Hazav, the gold Mizbeach. So this special offering, this third offering of Ketores, that's going to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's white clothing, because that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The blood of the bull, his bull, and the blood of our goat, the one that is separated from the other ones going off the cliff. Those are the three things that are Yom Kippur. So those things he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for, therefore they require white.
So these other things in Pinchas?
That would be gold.
Okay,
right.
even though they're Yom Kippur.
Right, because they are carbon musaf, and musaf is found in other times too, so they're not unique to Yom Kippur, meaning they're unique, that set is unique to Yom Kippur, but the concept is not unique to Yom Kippur. Therefore, they would be gold clothing.
All right. The other question is, if Shabbos falls on Yom Kippur, so do you have
two more.
Four tamids?
Yeah, now it's the two regular, if the question is if Shabbos comes out on Yom Kippur. So then you have the two tamids of regular plus the two musaf for Shabbos. We say it actually, if Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, then in the musaf of Yom Kippur, we mention the pasuk of Shabbos as well.
Right. But so are there four tamids? Because there's one in the afternoon.
One in the morning, one in the afternoon.
For Shabbos, and then one in the morning, one in the afternoon for Yom Kippur.
So it's one in the morning, one afternoon because of Tamid. No, there's no, the Tamid is always just two.
Oh, okay.
Even a multiple, right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but you'll have two Musafs.
You will
because you have the Shabbos Musaf also, which is two, okay. Which is two Karbanos. Okay. Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. If you have a day that has, multiple titles, so it's Shabbos and it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's Rosh Hashanah, or it's Shabbos, and it's Yom Kippur. So you still only have two carbon tamids.
Okay.
One in the morning, one in the afternoon. You don't multiply carbon tamids. Right. Okay, any other questions on Yom Kippur, about the Yom Kippur carbonos? Okay, so then we move on to Sukkos. Now, Sukkos is different than Pesach in that we're going to have a paragraph for every day of Sukkos. For Pesach, we had one paragraph. And that paragraph included all of Pesach, including the last day of Pesach. But for Sukkos, we're going to have eight separate paragraphs for eight separate days. The biggest paragraph is going to be the first one, which will mimic the ones we've had until now with the other Yamim Tovim. But then it's going to be followed by the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, and of course the eighth day, which is special because of Shmini Atzeres. It's going to have its own paragraph. So we're going to have eight separate paragraphs for Sukkos. The reason we have eight separate paragraphs for eight separate days of Sukkos is because the karbanos of the 8 days of Sukkos were not repeats. They weren't the same. They changed each day. They didn't change dramatically. It's not very complicated, as we'll see. But they are not the same every day. On Pesach, the karbanos are the same every day. They don't change. Same karbanos every day of Pesach. On Sukkos, they change. This is the reason why on Sukkos, we say a full Hallel every day of Sukkos. Third day of Sukkos, fourth day of Sukkos, Chol HaMoed, we say a full Hallel. On Pesach, we say a full Hallel the first day of Pesach. In Chutz La'aretz, it's also on the second day of Pesach. But for the rest of Pesach, including the last day or days, we only say a partial Hallel. So the Gemara asks the question, why? Why do we only say a partial Hallel? And why on Sukkos do we say a full Hallel every day? And the Gemara says, because on Sukkos, the Karbanos are different every day. And on Pesach, they're not. Now that begs the question, why are the Karbanos different on Sukkos and they're not different on Pesach? So that's like the next step. But the basic answer to the question of Hallel is because the Karbanos change, which is what we're going to learn about right now. And of course, we'll have a little bit of insight anyway into the Karbanos of Sukkos. So let us at least begin. I don't think we'll finish it tonight, but let's begin the Karbanos of Sukkos with Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. On the 15th day of the 7th month, of course, this is the third holiday of the month. Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, it shall be a sanctified day for you. Komalecha Savodalo Sasu, should not do any malacha. Vechagosem Chag LaHashem Shivas Yamim, you shall make a holiday to Hashem for 7 days. Now, we know there's an 8th day, but that will be mentioned. The 8th day is Shmini Atzeres. Here we're talking about Sukkos. So is Shmini Atzeres part of Sukkos or not? The answer is sort of. And we'll discuss that when we get to Shmini Atzeres. Mitzvah Hashem. V'ikravtem ola ishe reach nechoach la'Hashem. So you shall offer an ola, which is a burnt offering, which is a pleasant smell to Hashem. Parim b'nei v'akar shlosha asar elim shnayim. The bulls, there will be 13 bulls, 12 rams. So that's way more than what we've had until now. Until now we've had either 2 bulls and 1 ram, 1 bull and 1 ram. Here we have 13 bulls and, I'm sorry, I said 12, and 2 rams. Excuse me. Yeah, my mistake. 13 bulls and 2 rams. 13 bulls and 2 rams. So 2 rams is not so dramatic, but 13 bulls is. That's way more than what we've had until now. And, kvasim b'nei shana arba asar timimimiyu. And the sheep, 14 that are unblemished. So where every single holiday we had until now, including Rosh Chodesh, it was 7 sheep. On Sukkot, it's 14. It's double. And the bulls, where it was either 1 or 2, here it's 13. And the rams are 2. So that's a lot of karbonos, and it's only the first day. You've already got, here on the first day, 29 additional karbonos. We're not done yet. Umin chasam, their meal offerings, solas b'lulav ha-shamen, the fine flour mixed with oil, shlosho esronim la-par ha-echad, you have to bring 3 esronim for each bull, lishlosho asar parim, for each of the 13 bulls, shnei esronim la-ayel ha-echad, 2 esronim for each ram, lishnei ha-elim, for the 2 rams, v'isaron isaron la-keves ha-echad, and one isaron for each of the sheep, for all 14 sheep. So you just have to keep multiplying out how much flour you need, much more than on the other Yom Tovim. And there's a 30th karban, usiri zimechad l'chatas, and 1 goat as a chatas. So that doesn't change. That's the same as the other Yom Tovim, 1 goat for a chatas. And all of this, of course, is milvad olas hatamid, not including the olas hatamid, which is 2 more karbanos, minchasa, it's meal offering, viniska, and it's libations. So the first day of Sukkos, you have, besides the 2 regular karbanos of the karban tamid, you have an additional 30 karbanos. 13 bulls, 2 rams, 14 sheep, and 1 goat. So that's a lot of animals on the first day of Sukkos, and of course the 2 sheep that are offered for the Karban Tamid. So Sukkos gets much more than a regular, all the other Yom Tovim. Far more than a regular Yom Tovim. Now, let's move on. So now, what happens on the second day? So the second day, the pattern is going to be, let's see, Uvayom Hasheni on the second day of Sukkos, Parim b'nei makar shneimasar. Well, now it's only 12 bulls. Where before it was 13 bulls, now it's 12. Elim shnayim, 2 rams, that's the same as the first day. Kvasim b'nei shana, arba'a asar timimim. And sheep, that are a year old, 14 unblemished, same as the first day. So the only change is we went down from 13 bulls to 12 bulls. Umin chasam in iskehem, and their meal offerings and their libations, la parim, la ilim, for la kvasim, for the bulls, for the rams, for the sheep, bimisparam, according to their numbers, kamishpat, according to the law. So the Torah here now abridges the commandment because we've seen it so many times already. And usiri zimechad chatas, plus 1 goat as a chatas, milvad olas hatamid, of course not including the ola of the tamid, which is two more sheep, umin chasav and iskehem, and its meal offerings and its libations. So the second day is exactly the same as the first day, except one bull less. So instead of 30 additional korbanos, it's only 29. 12 bulls, 2 rams, 14 sheep, and 1 goat. So it's 29 korbanos extra besides the 2 sheep of the korban tamid. Let's read through the third day, and you'll see the pattern over here is going to be just going one bull less each day. Uvayom ashlishi parim ashtei asar. On the third day, you have 11 bulls. Everything else remains the same. 2 goats, 14 sheep, 1, what did I say? 2 rams, 14 sheep, 1 goat. And let's skip to the fourth day, Pasuk Chav Gimel 23, Uvayom Aravi, Parim Asara. Now we go down to 10 bulls. Let's skip to the next paragraph, Pasuk Chavah, verse 26, Uvayom Achamish, and the fifth day, Parim Tisha, 9 bulls. Pasuk Chavtes, verse 29, next paragraph, Uvayom Ashishi, Parim Shmona, 8 bulls. And finally, Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32, Vayom Ashvi, the seventh day, Parim Shiva, 7 bulls. So we go from 13 bulls down to 7 bulls. Everything else is the same. 2 rams, 14 sheep, 1 goat. But the bulls change each day. 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7. For 7 days of Sukkos. Shemini Atzeres will be different. But for these 7 days, it's all the same except you go down with the bulls. So, the Gemara tells us that if you add up all the bulls, 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7, you will get 70. 70 bulls in total. Right? 13 plus 7 is 20, 12 plus 8 is 20, 11 plus 9 is 20, and then 10. So you have 70 in total. 70 bulls. So the Gemara tells us these 70 bulls represent the 70 nations of the world. And the bulls are to atone for the nations of the world. The Gemara says, if the nations of the world would have realized how much they were hurting themselves when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they never would have done it. Because these bulls went a very long way to help them. And now they don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, of course, but they don't either. And therefore no korbanos are being offered to atone for them. Nevertheless, the way they're offered is in descending order, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, which represents the fact that the nations of the world will be dwindling and disappearing over time, that they do not last, that their power wanes, as opposed to us, that our star rises and their power wanes. That's the representation of the 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, that it goes down in number. The 14 sheep times 7 is 98. So it's 98 sheep. 98 sheep corresponds to the klalos, the curses, all the bad things that are spoken about in the tochacha. In the tochacha, in the criticism, the admonishment of the Jewish people in Parshas Kisavo. So these 98 sheep are meant to offset or annul those 98 curses that come because of our sins. In other words, they atone for us. The 98 sheep atone for us. The 70 bulls atone for the nations of the world. That's the 7 days of Sukkos and all of these karbanos that are offered. Far more karbanos, clearly, and they have depth to what is going on. Which brings us then to Shemini Atzeres, which is going to be, well, we're going to leave for next time. The Shemini Atzeres, as I mentioned, we have to see the karbanos that are offered, compare the karbanos of Shemini Atzeres to the rest of Sukkos, and discuss its relationship to Sukkos. Shemini Atzeres, on the one hand, is going to be very different than this pattern, so much so that it clearly doesn't fit. On the other hand, it's called the eighth day. It can't be the eighth unless it follows seven. So it is connected a little bit to Sukkos. How connected is it? We know that we don't sit in a sukkah. I mean, we do in Chutz La'aretz, but really, according to the Torah, we wouldn't sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. It's a different day. So next time it's Hashem, when we talk about the Karbanos from Shemini Atzeres, we'll discuss its status vis-a-vis sukkahs.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.